You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Tomorrow, we'll be at the Discount Drug Mart in Brunswick Hills. Terrence West will be signing autographs from 1 to 2, and Jim Leonard will be there from 2 to 3. So Matt and I apparently going on the road tomorrow, Matt.
Sweet!
To the Discount Drug Mart.
Love it. Save you the runaround. Discount Drug Mart.
In Brunswick Hills. Again, Terrence West from 1 to 2, Jim Leonard from 2 to 3. 216-578-0850. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's go to the phones now. We've got Bob in Norwalk with us. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I enjoy your work. I just got a couple issues here. I'm really disappointed in Coach Pettine after the game. The first statement he should have made was an apology to the fans, because a game of that magnitude, to have your team unprepared, whether it goes back to the coaches or not, you know, like the old saying on Harry Truman's desk used to say, the buck stops here. And I've never seen a team totally unprepared for a big game, you know, like that, especially getting back into it where we're relevant again. I just wanted your guys comment on that for a second.
I completely agree. And that's the one thing that is still very disappointing to me. And I piggyback a comment or a segment that, you know, that Riz talked about this morning on Really Big Show, is the lack of emotion. And it might have actually been the post-game show, I'm sorry, where the lack of emotion by those players and, you know, throwing chairs and just, you know, sitting down with your arms crossed, you know, upset at yourself, upset at the situation that you are in. And that's the one thing that's really hard to grasp, because the game that with which we play, and most recently, Nathan, it's like you look at Panther Saints in a fist fight a week ago. You get Jets and Titans in a fist fight yesterday. And Battle of Ohio, division rivals, you know, they've already thrown the money sign. They're ahead in the football game, and we just kind of took it. And I don't like that.
I didn't like it. There was one play where Jeremy Hill, like, threw left crosses at Jim Leonard's head, and I thought if there was going to be a time to, like, get a little bit of a fracas going, that would have been it, because he was basically saying, like, just disrespecting the Browns on their
exactly.
Home field.
And I'm not advocating by any means. I'm not saying they should have fought. All I'm saying is, within the rules and the confines of the football game, there are physical aspects that you can add to a football game to make yourself even look competitive, or look like you're in it, or look like you have emotion. And I thought that once Cincinnati took a stronghold on the football game, that they imposed their will on us, which I always say we use in our favor towards another football team, and we just kind of took it and just said, let's get out of here as fast as possible.
It was bad. It was horrific. That's the bottom line of what happened. I agree with you. Didn't like any of it. John in Yorksville, welcome to CBD.
Hey, there's one more bright side you guys forgot about. Stan finally got his wish.
Yes, and what's that? That Billy Cundiff was gone?
Yes, Billy Cundiff finally.
And it did not help us win the game.
It didn't matter. But I'll tell you what, I am absolutely angry at these coaches. Since the Texans game, they have totally changed their offensive game plan. They asked Hoyer to throw 50 passes in that game, if you remember. Then they centered their game plan all around Josh Gordon, screwed up the entire offense. You know, they don't take any responsibility for what went on. And that Gordon wasn't ready. And then yesterday, when we had a chance to actually make the playoffs, they put a rookie guy in there who obviously is not ready. I'm not blaming Johnny Football, but he is not ready. Put him back on the bench. Let him learn. And when he's ready, let him get in there. Let's win these last two games so we can have a 9-8, 9-7 record. Come on, give me a break. Coaches need accountability. And seriously, I'm thinking I'm not going to renew my season ticket for next year because of this if they stay the course.
Well, I think the growth of this football team in regards to you and your season tickets, this team is only going to get better. And I've said all season long, they have exceeded expectation. And I think that people are pleasantly surprised for the most part with Coach Mike Pettine as a rookie head coach and the job that he has done here. And you know what? To add a little bit of optimism, and this is just, you know, my professional analysis and my optimism for the Cleveland Browns is, when we had the football, you know, late in the second quarter, I said to my wife, we go score here.
Get the ball.
We hold them, get the ball back, and go score. And get, I'll just say, not even score a touchdown and make it 20-14, but go get points and make it 20-10. I said, it is an entirely different football game, and we are in it, and we can win it. And it's like all we needed as a team was one little thing that we could get behind. But it was going bad on defense, and it was going bad on offense. And there wasn't one play. And the Gordon play was too little too late in the football game for it to even matter. And I just think it's a lot to put on the shoulders of a rookie, regardless of who you are. Not Bortles, not Bridgewater, not Carr, not Mettenberger, not Manziel. Just needed a vote of confidence and something to go right for him. And it was all not only going bad, but very bad, both offensively and defensively in his first start. And some of it has to start with his play. And as you said, mechanics and things of that
sort.
That's
the thing. You got to give yourself a chance. And I think you realize how much faster the game was, because the field in college seemed so big for Johnny Manziel. He could run around forever. It seemed awful small against the Bengals.
It did. And I think it also, too, it's in due time that will open up. And I just think that that extra chip on the shoulder and the money signs. And I would actually also think, if I was, again, putting myself in that locker room after the spectacle that was Marvin Lewis last week, with it starting off on a bad note on Monday and just kind of getting worse with us sending Little John and him answering those questions and so on and so forth. It was a spectacle for Marvin Lewis, and Marvin Lewis is a guy that doesn't like a lot of attention. And I think he probably had multiple defensive meetings where he, not the defensive coordinator, stood in front of those guys and said, we will stop this, we will stop that. And he, and when it comes from the head coach, it just means a little bit more. And I think that these guys went out and played to fulfill Marvin Lewis's mission in this football game.
Sometimes this game leaves me very speechless, man. Yeah. I'm very frustrated and very disappointed. And it's just one of those things you got to come back from, because there was so much ammunition. We kept talking about there's the bulletin board material, there's this, and it just seemed like the Bengals had so much more fight and desire and edge to them. Mike Penn even said it. We didn't have the edge to them.
No.
And I don't understand how that happened.
And it might have been just, to speculate, is the Bengals wanting to maintain the stronghold on the division lead to guarantee their place in the playoffs, but then also, too, to vindicate the loss. You know, a very dominant loss by the Cleveland Browns in their home. They wanted to do that very same thing and essentially end our football season from a playoff standpoint.
Yes, they certainly did end our season from a playoff standpoint. And as the kid had just texted me, and he said, we should have taken the ball and given it to Johnny. Well, we'll see. On to Carolina, as many are saying. Yes, that is true. Tim in Tuscarawas, welcome to CBD.
Hey guys, thanks a lot for taking my call.
I got it.
A question for Matt first, and then two quick comments. I'll be quick here. First of all, I'll tell you what, not only the O-line, but the defensive secondary, the linebacking core has really looked bad yesterday. But my question is for Matt. Hey, I'll tell you what, Tank Carter is constantly making them tackles downfield. Why don't they give him a shot in the backfield during the regular game, A? My two comments are, A, how come Johnny looked so good in that Buffalo drive, and nobody could have said that he was such a rookie and so-and-so then? And, B, if everything was the same yesterday, if you'd have plopped Hoyer in there, I think they'd have taken him out of the game and had to go to Johnny. Your comments.
My comment, first and foremost, about Tank Carter. I think Tank Carter, obviously they like him, and he fits a great role here as a backup linebacker, you know, that doesn't partake in the defensive game plan, but is a stud on special teams. And I just think that you have to understand that those inside linebackers in today's NFL have to be able to cover the Jimmy Grahams, the Gronkowskis, the Grishams, those types of personalities. And I just think that the athletic ability of a Robertson or Kirksey, and in this case Dansby as well, who is injured, fit this defense and the activity level expected of an inside linebacker, which Tank Carter may have had limitations. For gosh sakes, I had limitations when it comes to some of those things too. And why it looked so different from a Buffalo Bills to Johnny Manziel to yesterday. And I think in this case,
circumstance of the game, no game planning for Johnny Manziel.
Exactly. And also, and I think in this case, I thought the game plan and the overthinking, and also too, I believe John Lynch talked about it. It might have been even Sunday morning, or his chat with Kyle Shanahan on Saturday talked about, what do you think Johnny's going to do? Like, what, you know, and Kyle had no idea, you know. And so that was very hard, and I think in this case it worked against us because Kyle did his best to assume, based on his conversations with Johnny and what he has seen from him in practice, about what he succeeds in and what he doesn't. And I think we were very limited in the number of plays that we could call to actually fit Johnny's strengths up to this point because we don't know what those are on an NFL level. And again, you've talked about it, and everybody talked about it. Is, you know, the Bengals talked about it after the game. It ain't college anymore, bro. You can't do what you did then. These are grown men who are trying to feed their families, and that is exactly true. And you saw that yesterday.
You certainly did, and they were. That defensive line was tough. They were fast, trying to run away from them around the edge. Did not work for Johnny Manziel. Let's go. 216-578-0850. Let's go to John in Columbus now. John, welcome to CBD.
Hey, guys, great show as usual. You've hit on most of the points that I wanted to talk about. The edge the coach talked about. Coach, you don't give Cincinnati the ball at the start of the game. Your offense was loose, and then they sat there for a half an hour, and you wonder why they don't have an edge. How are they going to be loose when they go out that first drive with a rookie quarterback? Johnny Manziel, the same guy that ran that stuff 80 yards against Buffalo, went right in there cold and did the job. This was a coaching screw-up this game, and he's talking after the game, where was the edge? You're a rookie coach. Learn, coach, from what you do and what you hear from knowledgeable people. We may not have played the pro level, but we can see what happened there. For a half an hour, your offense sat over there cold, okay? And then a good offense like Cincinnati, who can get up for Johnny Manziel, but watch. They'll be flat against Denver. That's the kind of team they are. They
You're
like
right about that.
They like to snap their fingers and play that silly game that they play, that immature stuff, and they can get up for that. But again, they, you know, Marvin Lewis is a nice fella, and that's why they take advantage of him. That's why they go up and down, and that's why a team like the Browns, when they want to play hard, they can beat them. And, Coach, use your backs. You're so high on West, and you're so high on Crowell, and they're good runners. Use them out of the backfield. Dump the ball to them. Get the ball to your weapons. And get Johnny out on the edge where he can do something for. I'm sorry to get so excited. But
no, you're right. You're right. And that's
a waste. Such a waste of talent. Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're right. And we've talked about getting the backs involved in the passing game, and it hasn't happened. It just hasn't been a staple of this offense this particular season. Watching the tape, because I did watch it this morning, it's not like Johnny missed a bunch of reads where guys were open. There were plenty of times guys were not opened at all. It certainly was an ugly performance from this offense in general. I do think there were times when he had an opportunity to make plays. The interception in the end zone, he saw it way too late, and the ball could have gotten picked off by three different Bengals, actually, when he was in the air. But, you know, throwing on the run, he's got to make sure he gets the proper velocity on the football and really drill it out there, and that's something he's going to have to work on his footwork, continue to work on that this season. Ken in Costa Rica. At least you're in Costa Rica, Ken. All right, let's try Mike in his car.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, man.
Good. I love your show.
Thank you.
Basically, my question or comment is, it seems like we were setting ourselves up for Sunday throughout the whole season. Every single week, we heard mainly the national media talking about Manziel or Hoyer, or Hoyer, Manziel, and making it into a huge controversy. I really feel like football players are human. If you continually tell them that there's someone coming up behind them or that they're in trouble losing their job, it's going to affect their play. And I feel like that streak that Hoyer went through, a lot of it might have had to do with the fact that everybody was talking about Manziel, not about him. And it seems like the coaches didn't do anything at all to curb that, to say, no, Hoyer's our man. I think ideally we would have had Hoyer starting, Manziel learning throughout the season, and maybe have Manziel come in next season as the starter. That would have been ideal. But even a couple of weeks ago, Johnny said he wasn't ready. He said he was learning, and I was surprised to hear him say that. And yet we were sort of forced to put him in because of the media and because of the fans screaming for Manziel, and I just don't feel that the coaches did anything to help that. What do you guys think?
I don't know, but I think if Brian Hoyer had performed, this wouldn't be an issue. 7 interceptions over 3 games with no touchdowns, that's not performing. Anybody who, you know, was a quarterback of a team in the NFL, that was not performing at the level. Last in the league in completion, the stats were horrific.
They were.
And the eye test was bad as well.
Yes,
and
it was.
I agree. I agree with you, and that's not even a question. I'm not a Hoyer fan or a Menzel fan. I've been a Browns fan all my life.
I would just like the Browns to have a quarterback.
Right, but I'm saying, do you not think that all of the criticism of Hoyer, all of the questioning as to whether he was going to be benched or not that week, you don't think that had anything to do with his poor performance?
Oh, I think and I've made comments about it, anytime that anything mental played into the mind of Brian Hoyer before a football game, he went out and laid an egg. If it was contract talk and it was future, he went out and played bad. If it was Johnny Manziel, is it Johnny time, he went out and played bad. So I just think, and I think as the season has gone on, and I talked about it in regards to myself, you get comfortable in a certain role. And I think Brian Hoyer got comfortable in the role as a starter here, and maybe he stopped pressing and started assuming. And you could even hear his comments change about, well, you know, I've been so mentally tough. And it's like, well, no, when the going got tough, you cracked and you didn't play your best football, which is very difficult. And I think that in my mind, and why I wasn't at any point saying Manziel is better than Hoyer, I thought it was time to move on from Brian Hoyer onto whoever's next. And in this case, it was an opportunity to see what Johnny Manziel has and who he is as a football player.
Brian Hoyer played his way out of the league.
Correct.
And not out of the league, out of the starting lineup. He didn't play himself out of the league. He played himself out of the starting lineup. Johnny Manziel, in his first start as a rookie, played in a way that was well below standards as well. And right now you have two quarterbacks for the Browns who have combined in the last four games to throw zero touchdowns with nine interceptions. So it was not good. This was the worst offensive performance of the season. It was the worst defensive performance of the season. It was the worst game of the season. And I don't care who was under there, it was not good. Right now, the way that the Browns played yesterday was horrific, and Johnny Manziel's going to have to be better if he wants to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. But it's one game, and you want to see how he responds now against Carolina. It's not a trend of negativity where you saw some good and then saw a negative trend start to take over. This is one game, and the good news is, I think it can't possibly be worse going forward.
No, I sure hope not.
I hope this was the worst game of the Johnny Manziel era for him, for the team, etc.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, the voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan, right now will be here with us on from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network on the Blue Point Grill Roundtable that comes up right after this. I need a companion.